This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking with Dr. Alan Safdi, who, along with his colleague, Dr. William Renner, are speaking as part of a series at the Peaks Resort and Hotel on the subject of health and wellness. This series continues on Tuesday, March 25th, and ends that same day for the winter, but resumes again in the summer. Dr. Safdi, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Well, thank you very much, Susan.
So at what point in your life did your passion for medicine surface?
I've always had a passion for medicine. It's something I assumed. It's almost a genetic flaw. My father was a physician. My brother is a physician. And I've never really contemplated doing anything else. I always found it very fascinating, and I truly have a passion for it. I noticed in school, our school systems were lacking in presenting true courses on health, wellness, and a lot of focus on Greek mythology and other things. And so I really wanted to go into medicine and always had an interest in lifestyle modifications.
Okay, wonderful answer. Thank you. Once you were in med school, why did you decide to focus on gastroenterology, and what does the specialty encompass?
Also a fantastic question. I didn't initially focus on gastroenterology. As I was doing my internship and residency, cardiology, because of the invasive procedures, intrigued me. But then I realized in gastroenterology, we focus on a lot more than just structural abnormalities or a functional abnormality. We concentrate on nutrition, wellness, immunologic diseases such as Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. So we deal with most everything, and as over the years, we really understood that a lot of the diseases we have can be immunologic or diet-related. And so that's why I actually switched from my initial focus of cardiology to gastroenterology and hepatology.
Okay, great answer. Thank you. Then, once you established a career, was there a shift to wellness and not just illness, or was that bias always your direction?
Almost my entire adult life, my bias has been in the direction of wellness and prevention, although a lot of what I deal with is treating pre-existing cancers and tumors. Unfortunately, under our healthcare structure currently, there's really no training or impetus or push for physicians to take the time and efforts it takes to discuss wellness. Doctors should always discuss the pros and cons of supplements and other wellness aspects that we have in evidence-based research, not anecdotal research. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, since that time is often not there, my goal has been to, in some aspects, change the healthcare structure so we really look at wellness instead of just treating illness.
Wonderful. Thank you. And how do you distinguish between myth and fact in the wellness field? And do you dismiss, author Dan Buettner's findings, the author of The Blue Zone, and those of Dr. Doty of Stanford about happiness and compassion and longevity? Do you dismiss those findings out of hand? Doty, for example, is really highly regarded at Stanford and around the world.
No, I absolutely don't. I actually read those with significant intrigue and interest. Dr. Buettner and the Blue Zones are a fantastic reference for people, and if they haven't looked at that, they really should. You know, we know in population-based studies, there's certain populations that not only live longer, but they live healthier. Mm-hmm. And they don't just live a few years longer. Even we just finished a study in the Midwest in one city, and we looked at characteristics of individuals within that city, and there was over a 20-year difference in life expectancy. We're not talking about changing our life expectancy just a few years. We're talking about wellness, and Dr. Buettner shows that. So I think if you looked at both of those authors and individuals, they have very good points. These populations they look at have strong family ties, strong social connections. Elderly people are involved in taking care of the children. And the elderly people are respected. And almost all these populations have extremely strong social ties, and they often volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I found those findings when Dan Buettner spoke here and Dr. Doty spoke here absolutely riveting. I was just wondering if you felt that they were stretching a bit the boundaries of credibility by talking about longevity is related so much to environmental factors.
I mean, I think that they're, you know, they are right on point. We have to look at environmental factors and psychological factors, and we have to study those environments, and that's population-based research, and they're two of the pioneers in that field.
Great. Wonderful. I'm glad you feel that way. Since I, having interviewed those guys, really was impressed. Now, can you talk about maybe three myths, the things that are, in fact, myths, that you'll be busting or at least addressing at your talk on Tuesday?
There's a lot more than three.
Yeah,
first
of course.
Of all, you cannot buy wellness in a bottle. Health is no accident for people. And supplements are not always better. Just because it's natural doesn't mean it's good for you. Hemlock is absolutely natural. Arsenic is natural. Lead is natural. Should we consume those? No. One good example is that we will talk about is selenium. And a lot of people have taken it for many years, it's, as well as vitamin E. They've been sold as supplements. And what we just found is combinations of selenium and vitamin E may not have a little increase in prostate cancer, but a tremendous increase in prostate cancer and the aggressive nature of prostate cancer. One of the other myths is, you know, all sugars are equal. And we're going to talk about fructose in regards to where it's metabolized, the high fructose corn syrup risk, the actual addictive properties of sugars on your brain and the changes that undergo in the brain,
mm-hmm.
And the risks of fructose causing high triglycerides and liver fibrosis. And one of the things that we should strongly avoid, especially in the form of high fructose corn syrup, although sucrose is 50% fructose, it has a bond in it, it doesn't have the same risk. And one of the other things that's fascinating with some recent research that just came out are the risks of high-protein diets, and it varies depending upon our age. High-protein when we're younger may be much riskier than high-protein when we're older, and we're going to go through a lot of that research. And we see this push for very high-protein diets, and a lot of young people have taken that up, and there may be some significant risks associated with that.
Will you also be discussing things like the efficacy of sort of an aspirin a day keeps the heart attack away?
No, that's, you know, an aspirin a day may keep a heart attack away, but it also, we will discuss the risks versus benefits. Most things in medicine have risks as well as benefits, and we will talk about the risks versus the benefits and what you should ask for during your physical examination. As patients, you have to become informed consumers. And you have to go in with a list of tests that you really want run during the physical examination and you really want doctors to discuss with you, like cardio-specific C-reactive protein, 25-hydroxy vitamin D levels, et cetera. And we will discuss conventional therapy, not only the benefits as well as the risks. For example, ibuprofen and that class of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents may kill over 20,000 people a year. So there are benefits, but there's significant risk associated with it.
Great. Well, this is really juicy. But the ticket is pricey. So although your answers probably already answer this question I'm going to ask anyway, why should I or anyone else attend?
I really think as patients, consumers, individuals, our educational system has let us down. We got out of high school, even college, knowing a lot about Zeus and Aphrodite and other people, but we knew very little about our function or gastrointestinal tract and wellness and health. We don't understand that we're only 10% human in regards to our DNA. We have 100 trillion bacterial cells and only 10 trillion human cells. And we're going to go through that, and that education is mandatory. The ticket is pricey. The Peaks has very generously sponsored this and is including a spa pass with that. And there's some significant expenses that we will incur to get speakers here in the future for ongoing series.
Mm-hmm.
This is really not something that we want to be a money-making venture, but we want it to be an educational venture. And health and wellness is not a static field. We continue to see things change. And next year, I may tell you something a little bit different than I told you this year. 10 years ago, we thought selenium was beneficial as well as vitamin E. And right now, we know that they both carry some significant risk in regards to supplementation. So we need to continue to update our speakers and bring people there. And I really think for most people, attendance should be mandatory. It is for my wife. So everybody will come.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for our preliminary conversation. I know we'll have many more in the future. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been honored to be speaking with Dr. Alan Sufti. The subject is the sort of depth and breadth of the final installment of a three-part wellness conference series held at the Peaks Resort and Spa. That final edition is Tuesday, March 25th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Dr. Sufti, thanks again.
Thank you very much, Susan.
You're welcome.